Let's start off things this morning with a look at social media. Twitter, for example, was designed to be a part of the seemingly never-ending world where people could communicate and share their thoughts, debates, and ideas. As we've come to learn, a tweet can create some turmoil, either intentionally or unintentionally. That is a lesson a high school student in Fairlawn, New Jersey, learned when she posted a tweet that was anti-Israeli, pro-Palestinian. With us now to discuss how a tweet turned into a school policy and legal debate is senior staff attorney with the New Jersey chapter of the ACLU, Alexander Shalom. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Chris. Nice to be with you.
And website for New Jersey chapter is ACLU-NJ.org. So give us some background on all this. Certainly a 16-year-old tweeting is nothing unusual. We've come to learn that. But apparently the student, name is Bethany, she is, let's just say she's maybe above average as far as foreign policy awareness is concerned for most 16-year-olds. What was it that she tweeted, and what were the consequences of that tweet?
Right, so she's a very politically engaged young woman. That's certainly fair to say. So what the tweet said was, I'm so glad, and I'm not actually quoting this, but in loose paraphrase, I'm so glad that pro-Israel girl stopped following me, meaning following me on Twitter. And then f*** Israel, I think five times. That was then followed, someone messaged Bethany and said, I got your back, I'm ready for a fight, tell me who it was, who unfriended you or stopped following you. And she said, you don't know the person, I will direct message you the person's name. There was never any fight, nothing ever came of it. Fight meaning physical or even cyber fight. And it's worth noting that this whole Twitter back and forth happened during Christmas break. They were not in school. This wasn't, being sent during third period or something like that. Anyway, the student who had stopped following her, the pro-Israel girl, so to speak, complained to the school and said that this constitutes harassment, intimidation, or bullying. And the school instituted a formal investigation into those claims. In New Jersey, the consequences for harassment, intimidation, or bullying can be quite severe. It can include suspension or even expulsion. So kind of as serious as a penalty can be within the school realm rather than in the criminal realm.
And when you look at the school bullying laws, we've talked about in the show too, much like when any law is instituted, the legislators think they have all the bases covered, and something like the issue of bullying, because the bullying law was the aftermath of the Tyler Clemente situation over Rutgers University.
That's right.
So they tried to make it as wide a net as possible whilst trying to stay logical and legal as best as possible. Is this just a case where the bullying law needs a review and not elimination but a better definition so situations like this don't occur?
Well, our view from the beginning, and let me give you the punchline before I get to our view. The punchline was that the school conducted its investigation and at the end of last week determined that Bethany had not committed an act of bullying, which is exactly the correct conclusion in our view. So we actually don't think that the bullying law is wrong. We think applying this sort of action to the bullying law is what's wrong. And there's really two problems with it. One is the off-campus nature of the speech, right? That this was not something that was really affecting school or happening during school. It was happening during Christmas break. But the other is that there's a real concern that it's going to be used to chill political speech. We don't want people who say things that are politically unpopular, whatever those things may be, to be in the crosshairs of school discipline. It's simply not the appropriate role of school to tell students who have unpopular political opinions to be quiet. But we think that if schools abide by the actual language of the law and fairly interpret the law, there's no need for this sort of overreach.
Because the law, I'm paraphrasing it, because it is quite more detailed than this, it is they're obligated to investigate, but it sounded like in this case they were laying before Bethany actions, making it sound like this is going to happen, as opposed to this might happen if we find out something is true that we believe right now.
I think that's a totally fair assessment, which is to say an obligation to investigate need not include, bringing the kind of impressionable 16-year-old into the office and telling them, kind of conducting a formal investigation. Instead, what you could do is review the complaint and say that on the face of the complaint, what's happened here is a conflict, not harassment, intimidation, or bullying.
Talking with Alexander Shalom, Senior Staff Attorney with the New Jersey Chapter of the ACLU. ACLU-NJ.org is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas, talking about a little Twitter dust-up at Fairlawn High School with Bethany Koval, a 16-year-old who voiced, maybe could have voiced it a little more intellectually, but nevertheless, passion is a passion issue. And in the aftermath, or during, between the action and the resolution of this, Alex, how would you weigh the support versus the offense that Bethany experienced out of all this from others who heard about it, others with her at school? How was it playing out as far as that scale was concerned?
You know, you described the kind of Israeli-Palestinian conflict as a passionate issue, and I think that is a fair assessment of the responses as well. There was some incredibly vitriolic and hateful responses to her, people saying terrible things, perhaps forgetting that what they're dealing with was a 16-year-old. But there was also an incredible amount of support, an outpouring of support from around the world of people, both people who agreed with Bethany's political slant and people who didn't, who said, you know, good for you for standing up for what you believe in. You know, don't be cowed into submission by this investigation. And so there was a real variety of responses.
Do you think, too, this gives Bethany a lesson, too, that the First Amendment is not at the period end of a single person sentence? The other person who might be opposing the first person also has the right to come back, graceful, logical, adult or not. But if you're certainly going to comment or take part, and this is speaking certainly from my personal experience, if you're going to take on controversy, it does come at a cost sometimes.
That's true. And I think that's something that Bethany certainly understands. Whether or not this experience is what taught her that, I don't know. But she certainly knows it. That's right. Look, I mean, I have no First Amendment problem with the people who disagree with what Bethany said from voicing that. The people that, you know, egged her house, that's obviously not First Amendment protected.
Yeah, that's
speech, or should it be?
Yeah, we call that vandalism.
Exactly. Anyway, that's the but yeah, of course, everyone has a right to disagree on this issue, politically unpopular or popular. People should be able to express their political beliefs.
As far as for what do you think a lesson out of this comes for school districts right now who are certainly going to be confronted by this? You know, for example, if Bethany's tweet did not include the reference to the student, would we have gone through all this?
Well, look, I mean, that was my view from the beginning, which is let's imagine that the tweet did contain a reference to a student, but it didn't describe the student in the political terms. Let's say, for example, that what the tweet said is, I'm so glad that girl from Spanish class stopped following me on Twitter. And then, you know, had a string of expletives.
Right.
That's not bullying. No one would think that was bullying. What kind of triggered this is that there was this political reference, that the person was described as the pro-Israel girl. Now, so I think we have to look at it in the political context in which it was framed. But I think the lesson for school districts, to get back to your original question, is that the mere act of investigating complaints of harassment, intimidation, and bullying can have a serious chilling effect. So school districts need to be cautious and understand that when a principal confronts a student about something, the student, no matter how politically aware or bold or whatever, however you describe the student, every student is going to in some way be chilled by that inquiry. And so the school needs to be cautious about when they need to investigate the claim, but it doesn't always need to be in the kind of accusatory way in which it was done here.
Well, given the volatility of the action as well as the focal point of the action, I think multiple sides probably came out a little bit wiser out of all this. So I guess that's, you know, given in spite of the hostility that was shown by some, it was probably more of a win than a loss for pretty much all parties involved. Learn more about the work of the ACLU and the New Jersey chapter. Their website is ACLU-NJ.org. And we've been joined by the senior staff attorney, Alexander Shalom. Alex, thanks for giving us a better idea of how all this fell apart and put back together and played out. And thanks for being here this morning.
Chris, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.